Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Zivachim Daf Hey Zivachim 5. Our Mishnah taught that a sacrifice, a carbon that was brought for the intent of bringing a different offering, not that sacrifice, but a different type of sacrifice, then we say that that carbon, that sacrifice, is going to be kosher. It's a valid sacrifice. However, it doesn't fulfill the owner's obligation to bring the sacrifice that they originally intended, meaning to say the owner still has an obligation to bring the sacrifice that he had been obligated to bring, but this sacrifice can continue to be brought, and it's considered to be a valid offering, generally speaking. So our Gemara on Hey Omer Aleph from 5a, Reish Lakish, challenges this, says the Gemara Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish was lying on his stomach on the ground in front of the academy, in front of the Beis Medrash, and asked the question. Why does the Gemara give this detail? So some say it's because the Jerusalem Talmud explains that it was like a type of tachanun prayer. It's like he was falling on his face in humility. So even though Reish Lakish was challenging this concept, he was doing it in a humble way. And so Reish Lakish says, I don't understand. Im kasherim him, if we say that the sacrifice is kosher, then yiratzu, then it should serve as an atonement for the owner. And im emirat, and if it doesn't serve as an atonement, lama bayin, then why do we say it's kosher? The whole sacrifice should be considered to be completely invalid. So Reish Lakish says, I don't understand this distinction about whether or not that the sacrifice could be kosher, but yet it doesn't fulfill the owner's obligation. So comes along Rabbi Elazar, and he says to Reish Lakish, why? Why do you say that? You don't understand it. We have a precedent for another law where there is this type of distinction made. We find matzinu bebayin la'achar misa. We find other sacrifices that are brought sometimes after the owner has died. Shehen kasherin ve'ein meritzin. Now we see that there are other sacrifices that can be brought after an owner has died, where the sacrifice itself is considered to be kosher, and nevertheless it does not serve as an atonement for the owner. What's the example that Rabbi Elazar brings? He cites the Mishnah Maseches Kinim, which talks about a woman who gives birth. A woman who gives birth is called a Yoledes, and she's obligated to bring an Ola offering and a Sin offering, a Chatas offering, on the day that she is purified from her birth. It depends upon whether or not she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So such a woman, it says in the Torah that she has to bring a Korban Ola Viore, that if she is wealthy, she brings a sheep as an Ola offering, and a Yonah or a Tor as a Chatas, a bird as a Chatas, where if she is poor, she brings two doves or two Torim or two Bnei Yonah as an Ola and as a Chatas. So we see from that Mishnah in Maseches Kinim, Ha'isha She'viya Chatas, so if a woman brought a sin offering and then she died, that Yaviwa Yorshin Ola, so that the heirs come along and bring the Ola offering even after she has died. But if she brought the Ola offering and then she died, lo yaviu yorshin eschatasa, that the heirs cannot bring her sin offering. And the reason why they cannot bring her sin offering is because there's a halacha Moshe Misinai, that there are five types of sin offerings that can no longer be brought. And one of those sin offerings is a sin offering, a chatas, whose owner has died. And the reason why that cannot be brought is because we have a concept that there's no atonement after death. However, with respect to the Ola, we see that there's no complete atonement, so that the Chatas can't be brought, but we see that the Ola offering can be brought after this woman has died, the woman who gave birth. And so we see from here that it's not a problem to see that there are some offerings that don't achieve completely their goal, meaning to say the owner has not fulfilled their obligation, but yet they're still kosher to be brought. So the proof of this is the Ola offering, which can be brought after the woman has died, even though the complete atonement has not been achieved. So Reish Lakish actually rejects this proof from Rabbi Elazar. He challenges it, and Reish Lakish, in the end, says we need to rely upon a verse. And he says he found the verse, and the verse is from Devarim 23, which says, Motzas Fasecha Teshmor. And there, from that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 24, he proves that you can fulfill an obligation, that the sacrifice is kosher, even though it doesn't technically speaking fulfill your obligation. But we see from here an important concept that the Gemara has actually said that there is not complete atonement from a sin offering after death, that you cannot bring a chatos after a person's death, but yet on some level a sacrifice can be brought that is kosher, even though the owner has died who intended to bring it. So this is a slight distinction, and so the Sefer Hasidim talks about this, that the Sefer Hasidim writing in Ashkenaz in Germany in the 12th and 13th centuries talks about a person who they noticed, a chassid, a pious person, that when he would make a charitable vow, and he would make the vow on behalf of all those who were his relatives, and then he would make a vow to give charity on behalf of all the souls. And they asked him, why are you doing this? He said, first of all, I'm benefiting from all the good deeds that they did in the world. And second of all, I'm hoping that the same way that they did it for me, others will do it for me after I die. And so the Sefer Hasidim says, and if you're going to say, well, how can he expect to achieve atonement? It's after he's died already. I thought we just said that a sin offering can't be brought after a person's death. It's not efficacious at that point. So the Sefer Hasidim says the following distinction. Now, when we say a sin offering, a chatos, can't be brought after death, that means to say that if a person did such terrible sins that they're worthy to receive Yisurim, afflictions, then the chatas can't help. But if a person was basically a good person and that there are certain things that the person did that are preventing them from entering into the Garden of Eden or achieving a higher place within the Garden of Eden, then we say that people who come after them can do acts of charity and certain sacrifices like the Ola or today acts of charity and good deeds that will be to the advantage of the person who died. So you can't undo a completely bad person. If a person was terrible, then Korban Chatos, it's not effective. But if a person was basically a good person, then certain acts can be brought after their death and they will be helpful, like giving charity and doing good deeds on their behalf.